Psalm 49 opens as follows. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. Hear this. In the two psalms before this, we saw, as it were, a contrast between the cities of this world and the cities of men's hearts, and how fleeting they are. And however strong they may seem to be, like Jericho of old, however thick the walls, however tall the towers, however mighty men may be, when God sends forth his gospel, they are nothing before him. And we saw the contrast with the cities of this world and the city of God, Zion, the one city which will stand forever. That city is eternal. That city is everlasting. That city will never be destroyed. How mortal is that which is below? How immortal is that which is from above? How fleeting is that which is of man? How everlasting and eternal is that which comes from God? And in the 49th psalm, the attention of the psalmist moves to the riches of this world in contrast with the riches which are above. One of the things that captivates men in this world, and which they seek after, and which they trust in, and which leads to the building of their cities and the glory and the honour that they have, one of the things that is so insatiable in man is his hunger and his thirst after the riches and the wealth and the pleasures of this world. All that he can attain in this world, however you define riches, whether it is monetary riches or whether it is having a name to be someone or having glory and honour from other people bestowed upon you, or having perhaps land, or having the things that you like, whatever you seek after, for there are some that are content with little and some that are content with much. Many seek different things, but whatever the riches that you seek after, if they're here below, they are fleeting. They will perish with you when you enter the grave. You cannot take them beyond time and into eternity. They are nothing. They are nothing. Your life is but a vapor. And yet people's lives are spent with an insatiable seeking after and gathering and increase in all that they can get here below, even though by the time they've gathered it in, they breathe their last breath and they're gone. They can't help themselves. And yet the psalmist would point our attention to the fact that we have a soul and that that soul goes beyond the grave. The 70 or so brief years that you might be given to live in this world may be less, may be more. But the fleeting time that you spend here below is nothing compared to the extent of eternity that awaits. And people will look after their bodies, which perish. They will gather riches and build up houses and build up land and build up a name and an honour for themselves and get all that they can for everything, which is but for a moment. And yet they neglect the one thing they have, which will carry on into eternity. They think not about their soul. They do not spend any of their time or their energy in seeking what will protect their soul. They will not redeem it. They cannot redeem it. But they don't even think about it. They think every day, what will I eat and drink tomorrow? Where will I go? What will I buy? Where will I live? How will I work? How will I prosper? Where will I be in 5 years' time? Where will I be in 10 years' time? What will I gain from there? How can I increase this? How can I increase that? And in a moment, it's all gone. And their soul that they neglected remains dead in sin. And in a moment, they come to stand before eternal God with a soul which perishes. They stand guilty before eternal God as sinners, and they've never considered the state of their soul. So the psalmist calls your attention. He calls all people's attention. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. He's not simply addressing the rich. He's not simply addressing those who have obtained for a brief moment before they go and stand before God. But he's also addressing those who haven't obtained, or those who are yet poor who hope to be rich, or those who are young who have great plans. He's addressing all because it affects them all. They are all bound by a nature, by the sin within, by a force that they cannot control, that causes them to insatiably seek after everything they can find and gather to themselves in this world. Even though they cannot take it past the grave. This is a psalm, a commentary, as it were, on the mortality of riches. They do nothing for the soul. They cannot save. We cannot keep them. True riches lie within the redemptive work of Christ, in Him alone. Then hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, young and old together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. Rich and poor together. For it isn't the riches themselves which are evil. You need to hear this message whether you are rich or whether you are poor. If you're poor, don't look at the rich man and say, well, I'm not like he is. Well, he's got riches. He is evidently sought after those things. But I don't have those things. I haven't gone the way he's gone. It's not the riches themselves which are evil. It's the love and the desire for them. And the poor can love riches. The poor can love the pleasures of this world. The poor can love the acclaim and the praise of others. The poor can love everything that feeds and satisfies their flesh, their body, as much as any rich man. For the love of money is the root of all evil, Paul says in Timothy. And while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They have a love of money. They have a love of pleasure. They have a love of the praise of men. They have a love of everything that's here below. And their love causes them to seek after these things. And the effect of it is it pierces themselves through with many sorrows. It doesn't bring them pleasure. It doesn't bring them peace because it doesn't address the great need of their soul. There are many poor in this world who don't have great riches, but they seek after every pleasure they can get. So they drink to make themselves drunk. Because they find a pleasure therein. They take drugs to give themselves a pleasure because they can't afford the riches. They haven't got the riches that the rich man has. But they can use what money they've got to bring themselves what pleasure they can. Insatiably. And they can't control themselves. They become addicted. The drunkard becomes addicted to the alcohol. The drug addict addicted to the drugs. The gambler to the thrill of gambling. The sportsman to the thrill of sports. The showman to the thrill of the acclaim and the praise of others. The investor to the thrill of seeing his investment increase. All moved along by their love of money. And their love of riches, and their love of pleasure, and their love of sensory entertainment, their love of self, which ultimately pierces themselves through with many sorrows, for it does. You see, the drunkard, he's happy for a moment, he's miserable the next day. You see, the drug addict, they're happy until the money runs out and they're desperate to get the money, to get the next drugs, and they bring themselves into great tragedy and death. You see, those who seek after riches, who have this thing fail and that thing fail, and when they've got the riches, they become paranoid about others trying to take them off them. Oh, how the rich men, when they near their old age, how many complain about the attitude of the children and the relatives who are looking for their dying day in order to inherit and take what they can and pick up the pieces like scavengers. Oh, what sorrow comes with so many things. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. This is addressed to all, low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. The psalmist here then goes on to speak of this subject, and he speaks of it, as it were, as a parable. He's not so much addressing the surface and the surface of riches, although that's there. But he's using this as a message for something far deeper. He's using this as a message to point you to the fact that you have a soul. And your soul has a great need. And you use much energy and effort to provide for your flesh and to seek after the riches and the pleasures of this world, but you neglect your soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? That's his message. I'll incline mine ear to a parable. I'll open my dark saying upon the harp. That's his message. You've got a soul. And none of these things that you seek after and that you multiply can redeem your soul. That's the one thing you've got that will go the other side of death into eternity. And it's the thing that you don't think about. You don't care. You use all your energy for that that's perishing. And none for your soul. You shut your ears to everything that could help your soul. God sends his gospel. God sends his truth. God has left his word written down in the scriptures to address the great need of man's soul. And men shut their ears. They never open the book. They never read it. They won't listen. They look around. They don't want to listen. They don't care. Because they have an insatiable desire for all that feeds the flesh, and an uncontrollable apathy for that which feeds the soul. But the psalmist will open his dark saying upon the harp. He'll use a parable. He'll try to draw your attention to the need of your soul by speaking to those things that you can understand. You understand riches. You understand honour one from another. You live in this world where that takes up your thoughts and your attention. You understand those things. So you'll begin with the harp, so you listen. But he has a message. Your need is not the honour that comes from men. Your need is not the riches that you may have or may want, rich or poor. Your need is the redemption of your soul. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about, he says. Here's one that's come to know something different. He knows that when the days of evil come, when his sins are brought against him, he knows they won't condemn him because he has been redeemed. He's come to know of riches beyond comprehension. He's come to know of a God that has delivered him from his sin. The psalmist has come to see the poverty in the riches here below. He's come to see how poor these things are. How empty and barren they are. He's come to look upon the rich in this world and the mighty in this world and see how empty they are. He's had his eyes opened. He's seen light shining in the darkness. Oh, you might go around in this world and you might encounter those who have many things. You might see them driving around in their great chariots and acting like they are something. But if you're given understanding like the psalmist, you'll see they've got nothing. They have got nothing. It's all empty. It's all perishing. And all their attitude, all their grand strutting about and looking down upon others is a sad reflection of their blindness, that they don't see that these are things are nothing and they've got nothing. And even the honour they may receive from others is fleeting and will be gone in a moment. They don't see how poor they are. They think they're rich when they are, of all men, most poor. Because the one thing they've got that lasts their soul, they've got nothing for it. They've got no riches for their soul. If you consider time and eternity, and think of it as words in a book, and think of the first page in the book, and read the first word, that time. Move on to the second word, and the second chapter, and the third chapter, and you're into eternity. Well, that's time. So consider yourself in time. Consider the first words. I'm rich here. And then it's gone. And then it says I'm poor and without nothing. And then eternity begins. And the rest of the story carries on. That's reality. That's how brief men's lives are. For a blink. They are something, they have something, they're considered to be something. But then it's all gone and the reality comes about and they stand before God naked and bare with a soul full of sin and nothing for it. No redemption, no cleansing, no salvation, no forgiveness. They've got nothing. Nothing but the wrath and the judgment of God to come. Nothing but the fires and the torments of hell. They are as a rich man. In hell, calling out to Lazarus, give me a drop of water to cool me. But it's too late. And the rich man would have somebody go back into this world to warn his children. But it's too late. He didn't hear and they won't hear. And yet there's a psalm that was addressed to him. And there's a psalm that's addressed to them. And there's a psalm that's addressed to you, which if God opens your ears, you may hear, that begins, hear this, all ye people. Hear. This psalmist knew how barren this world is. He knew how poor the rich of this world are. He knew how foolish they are. He knew how foolish he was. He knew how poor he was. He knew how barren he was. But he knew that God had redeemed him. And in Christ and in his blood he'd given him riches beyond all splendor. He knew he had everything in Christ. His soul had been ransomed. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? I won't, because God's got me. He's delivered me. Whereas these, you perhaps, who haven't heard God's grace, who haven't heard his message, who haven't heard this, hear this. Those who haven't heard, who trust in their wealth, will perish. He goes on to say, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. They can't do anything. They trust in their wealth. They boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. But none of them can redeem their brother. They can't redeem themselves. They can't redeem their brother. They can't give to God a ransom for him. So there is Lazarus, as it were. And he's saved. And there's the rich man, and he's in hell, and he couldn't redeem himself, and he can't redeem his brothers, or his sons, or his daughters, no matter how rich he was, no matter how powerful he may be. The most powerful man in this world, the most powerful woman, the most powerful people, the richest, the greatest, the ones that have all the honour and the praise of men, can't do anything for their souls. And you see this. You see this time and time again. You can see the praise of men that's heaped upon others. Oh, how they like to talk about this one and that one, this great leader of this great company. But they can't do anything to redeem their souls. When ill health comes, when they're struck down by cancer, all the riches that they multiplied have no effect. And the reality of life comes to bear. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Doesn't matter whether you're smart or clever, doesn't matter whether you're foolish, doesn't matter whether you're rich or doesn't matter whether you're poor. We all perish. We all die. We've all sinned. And all that we have is passed to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. You see, our thought, our inward thought, is that we will, as it were, continue forever. We think, as it were, that our bodies will continue forever. We think our houses, our mortal house, will continue forever. But we also think that our name will be left in this world, in the history books, as though that matters. People have land and property, and they leave it to their children, and they leave it to their children. Farmers have farmland that gets passed on generation after generation. But it doesn't last forever. And several generations down, it's gone. And however many generations it may be passed to, when they go, they're gone. Doesn't matter how much they're honoured. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life, what great name you've made for yourself. Doesn't matter if you're a great scientist, or a great physician, or a great political leader, or some person known in the media, or the entertainment world. Doesn't matter how famous you may be. You perish. You can name the names from the history books. Julius Caesar, Henry VIII, whoever they may be. Their names. But where are they? They've perished. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Every generation comes along and speaks well of those that are dead, and well of what they did, without thinking about where they are. They perished. What did they do regarding their soul? Men always repeat the same foolish ways. Generation after generation after generation, each new generation comes along, each new group of young people live their life, and they all make the same foolish mistakes that their forefathers did. They all seek after the same things. They all seek to make a name for themselves. They all seek to make themselves wealthier. They all seek after the same pleasures, and none of them have any wisdom to learn and to look back and say, whatever that great man did, in the end was for nothing. He perished. Now you can look back, if you were to read anything that some of the great people in history have written, you might learn something if you learn from their latter end. Winston Churchill is one of the greatest respected names in Britain. He led the country through the war years. He brought unity when the country needed it. The speeches, the gifts he was given with his speeches to bring hope in the darkest of hours was greatly used. He brought us through the war years, and he did many things to help bring peace in Europe afterwards. But in his dying days, When he was an old man, he looked back and he said, I've lived many years and done many things to achieve many things, and in the end, I've achieved nothing. In the end, all that he did comes to nothing. Oh, his name might be revered. Many people might speak much about him, but he's but a man with a soul. And where he stood before God is the only thing that matters. Where do you stand before a holy God? Where is your soul? Man being in honour abideth not. Many seek immortality by hoping to achieve something by which others will remember them. They speak of this. They say, oh, that one's immortal. He immortalized his name. He's gone down in history. They're in the history books. And many seek to make a name for themselves, that they'll be remembered long after their death. But what good does that do them? They are dead in the grave. They've been judged. Either they've been washed by the blood of Christ, despite all that they did, and they're with him in glory, or they're in hellfire, paying for their rebellion, paying for their apathy, paying for their hatred of God and love of self. What good has a name that lasts in the history books done them? What good is it to have a name in the history, have your name in a history book? What good is it to have a road named after you, or some house named after you, or some land named after you? What good will that do you when you're the other side of death? That's not immortality. It is folly. It's folly to try to seek to extend your name somehow when you don't do anything for your soul. When you don't consider the state of your soul. When you don't cry out to God to have mercy upon you. And yet that is just what all men do insatiably, generation after generation. Their posterity approve their sayings. They all say, yes, this is great. This is what we need to do. Wasn't that a wonderful man? Won't I be remembered if I do this or I do that? Their way is their folly, and yet their posterity approve their sayings. They don't listen. They don't learn. And yet there's a message that cries out through all time, to every generation, to all people in all the world, there's a message that carries forth from God through time, from eternity into time. It carries forth, it goes to every generation, every person in the world, every country, every corner of the world, and it says unto them, hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. These things won't save your soul. You've no excuse. Every single person in the world who hears this cannot stand before God on that day and say, I didn't know. When your day comes and your last breath has gone and you stand before God, he will say to you, when you heard from this psalm, hear this about riches, and you spent your life seeking all that is here below, and you never considered the state of your soul, what were you thinking? What is your answer? What is your excuse? You are without excuse. As Paul says in Romans, we are all without excuse. Hear this, all ye people. Their posterity approve their sayings. It says in the Gospels, Mark 10:24, and the disciples were astonished at Christ's words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. You trust in all that's here below. You seek after it. You must have it. Yet it does nothing to save you. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed upon them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me, Selah. All these, like sheep, go the same way. And we're all like them. We all follow, all go in the same way, the same way. Running away from God. Running after this world. Running after making a name for ourselves. We all go the same way. And all the sheep die. And all the sheep are laid in the grave. And death feeds upon it. We waste away. The body's gone. It rots. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. However grand you were. However beautiful you were, however handsome you were, however great you appeared before men, you rot away to nothing. And all you've got is a soul. And does that soul perish? Or has it been redeemed? The psalmist's hope was in God. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. What faith and hope he had. He'd been given an understanding of riches from another source. Riches that will never perish. Riches which will never rust. Riches which will never be taken away. Riches beyond imagination. He'd been given a sight of his Saviour. He'd been given a sight of a Redeemer. He'd been given a sight of salvation. He'd been given a glimpse into the light of God and the glory to come. He'd been given a glimpse into that heavenly city, Zion. He'd seen the walls of Jericho fall down flat. He'd seen the city below burned with fire. He'd felt his own heart fall down flat and the hardness of his own heart be burnt up and consumed, and he felt the work of God within, taking him and then making him a part of that Zion to come. He saw the light. The light shone in the darkness, and he knew that there was one who had laid down his life for him. He knew there was one who was redeeming him. He knew there was one who ransomed him. He knew there was one who was saving him, who had saved him, and who would save him in the end. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. God will. He will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. God in Christ will redeem his brother and give himself a ransom for him. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. None of the rich in this world can do anything for their brother. But Christ has redeemed his brother, and he has given a ransom for him. His love looked down through eternity, through time, to this psalmist, to this one, to this sinner. And it paid a price for him to redeem him. It said, what's the ransom price? And it paid it. And it paid it with blood. Christ, the Son of God, gave his all that he should deliver his people from their sins. He gave his all. He left the glory of heaven above. He left the glory he had with his Father. And he came into this world made to be nothing, made poor, made barren, spat upon, rejected, hated, despised, even by those whom he loved, that he should deliver them. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, Paul writes, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." He was rich with true riches. He was God, God's Son, the Son of God, a prince, a king. He was rich. Yet for the sake of his people, for your sakes, Paul writes, he became poor. He gave it all up. He became a man, a rejected man, a hated man, a despised man, that he might, through his poverty, make that people rich. Did he do that for you? Did he give up all for you, that he should make you rich? Not with the riches in this world that perish, but with those that are everlasting. Where are you looking for riches? Here below, or in the blood of Christ? Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honour and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Oh, has God given you understanding? There are those who are poor in this world, who long to be rich, and understand not the riches of God in Jesus Christ. There are those who are rich in this world, who understand that these things perish, and know that their true riches are found in Christ alone. But there are those also, rich or poor, who have no understanding, and they think that all that they can have is in the things that they can take now, and in the honour that they receive now. They understand not, and when they perish, they are like the beasts that perish. They're no better than beasts. They're just flesh. They grab, grab, grab. They breathe their last breath, and they die, and they're gone. Where is their understanding? Oh, the foolishness of men. Is the measure of a man based on how much he has? How do you judge? How do you measure men and women in this world? Who are great in your eyes? Do you measure them by what they have? Do you measure them by the riches they have? Do you measure them by the houses and the land they have? Do you measure them by the physique they have, or the beauty they have, or the looks they have? Do you measure them by the talents they have, the abilities they have? Oh, look at that one. He can sing. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, look at that person. Look how good they are. Look how fast they can run. Aren't they amazing? Oh, look at the mind of that man. How wonderfully he can discern things. Oh, look at the words of that one. How they write. Do you measure somebody by what they have? Whether it's physical goods, money, or talents, or looks, or the acclaim and the praise of others. Oh, how popular they are. Oh, I'd love to be as popular as I'd love to have friends like they've got friends. Is the measure of a man based on how much he has? Is he more if he has more in your eyes? Do you esteem the rich man greater than the poor man? Do you esteem the handsome better than the ugly? Do you esteem the talented better than those who struggle? Do you measure a man on how much they have? Is he more if he has more? Is he less if he has less? Is that sort of thinking, that sort of praise, that sort of honour, is that really the height to which men's hearts can attain? Is that as high as their thinking gets them? Is that as high as your thinking gets you? Do you really judge one another in that way? To measure each other based on their wealth and material things or their looks or their talents? Is that how you judge one another? Is that how base you are? How beast-like you are? By nature it is. That's the depth to which sin goes. That's the heights to which we attain. We approve the folly of one another. We praise men based upon that which is nothing. That which is nothing. That which they're given. We see nothing more. Where is man's understanding? Man that is in honour and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish, no better than a beast. What do you understand? What do you see? They, when they're laid in the grave, shall go to the generation of their fathers. They shall never see light. What do you see? Are you in the darkness yet? When you die, will you be laid in the grave in the darkness? Is all that you've ever known darkness? The darkness of this world and the sin of this world prevents these from ever seeing light. Is it preventing you from ever seeing light? Is your sin so great you cannot hear? Is your sin so great you cannot see? Is it all just darkness? Or has God, as with this psalmist, come unto you by grace in his gospel and shown you the poverty of this world, shown you the poverty of men's hearts, shown you the poverty of your heart? Has he shone some light into the darkness of your heart? However rich and great and talented and praised you might be the most great in this world. Has he shown you how poor you are? How you've got nothing? How you are nothing? Men speak well of you, but you know by God's grace that before God you're nothing. Has he shown you that you're nothing? If he has, because in grace he shone some light by his gospel into your dark heart. He said unto you, hear this. He said it one day and you didn't hear. He said it another day and you didn't hear. He said it another day louder and you turned away and ran. He said it louder again, and you prospered in this world, and you went your way, and you would not listen. He said again, hear this, all ye people, low and high, rich and poor together. He said unto you, and you would not listen. And you went your way, and you spent your money, and you bought your things, and you furthered your own glory. He said unto you, hear this, and you would not. And he sent an east wind, and he took what you had away. And like Job, he brought you to nothing. And he said, hear this. And you would not. And he said, hear this again. And you began to wonder. And he stripped you bare. And he opened your eyes. And he said, this is what you are. And you heard. And he said, you're nothing. And you said, yes, I'm nothing. And he said, you've got nothing. And you said, yes, I've got nothing. And he said, you'll take nothing. And you said, yes, I'll take nothing. And he said, you have a need. And you said, yes, I need it. I'm needy. He said, you're a sinner. And you said, I know. You heard. You began to hear. Have you heard? Have you heard? Has he shown you your need? Has he shown you how barren and empty you are? Has he shown you the riches of his grace in Jesus Christ? Has he shown you his Son? Has he shown you the one who was rich, who for your sakes became poor, that by his poverty he might make you rich? Has he shown you his blood? Has he shown you his Son crucified in your place? Has he shown you the Saviour dying and bearing the sins of his people? Has he said unto you, here is love. Here is my love that I gave my Son that he should deliver his people from their sins? And did you see yourself slain with Christ? Did you see your sin blotted out? Did you see salvation in the blood of Christ? Did you see in him riches beyond all splendour? The psalmist did. Paul did. All Christ's sheep have done. Paul said, unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That I should go to them with the message of this psalm. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Hear of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hear this.